In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak. And as we've seen during the month, the church has given us readings from the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 1. In each week we took a part. The first 2 weeks we saw stories of visitations. So the stories of annunciations. So there was the annunciation of the birth of St. John, and then the following, the second Sunday, we heard of the annunciation of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the middle there was a visitation, and then today there is the birth of St. John, and next week we'll be celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's two annunciations, a visitation and two births. And the as I said, the readings are from Luke chapter 1, and today we ended the Gospel of St. Luke reading about the birth of St. John the Baptist. And the verse I want to look at today, or the part I want to meditate with you for a few minutes today, is at the end it says, "The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." And in a similar fashion, our Lord Jesus Christ, when before going to the temple at the age of 12, we read about our Lord Jesus Christ, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Very similar. And the part about the child grew and became strong in spirit is exactly the same. And this is an indication of how we should also be living our lives, a life of growth, spiritual growth, growing in the spirit, as it says about St. John. In many aspects of our lives, we see that we grow. We grow in our thoughts, in our education, our bodies develop and grow, our feelings develop, our experiences, and even our careers, our families, and so on. Everything grows. But unfortunately, the spiritual life sometimes, you know, many people find it's not growing. Actually, sometimes we look back and we say, "Where were my former days when I was zealous, when I was on fire, when I loved to be in church and pray the tasbih and pray the agbiya and so on?" And so we find instead of spiritual growth, it's spiritual regression. And really, in our lives, the spiritual growth means change in our understanding, in our thoughts, in our desires, and overall change in our spiritual lives, but in a positive way and moving forward. Because a person that is alive grows, but a person that is dead doesn't grow. Any person that is alive is growing. And so same thing on the spiritual level. If we are alive spiritually, then we should be growing. And so growth is an indication of spiritual life. And so I just want to take a few points, Kida, a few minutes to meditate with you on what it is that prevents our spiritual growth. Why is it do we not grow sometimes? And I'm just going to go over a few points quickly. First thing is pride. God resists the pride. For in James chapter 4, verse 6, "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And so we know that pride is something that we all suffer from. We all suffer in one form or another of pride. And so pride comes in the way and blinds us. As many of the fathers teach us, pride is this blinding disease that prevents us from seeing anything the proper way. And so because of pride, we don't see our sins, we don't see what is right, or even our ears are shut to the advice of others. And so it blinds us. And when we look, for example, in the Bible, King Saul as a young man, Samuel comes to anoint him a king, and he's so humble. And when people look at King Saul and they say, "Who is this man? How can he save us?" and they're speaking ill of him, it says that he held his peace because he was humble. And when people said, "These people who spoke ill of him should be killed," King Saul said, "No, no one shall be put to death today." This was his attitude, one of humility. He was okay with insults. He was okay with people saying things to him because he was a humble man. He knew himself. But when the honor of his position, came to, we can say, got to his head, later on when King David, when people saying about King David killing his 10,000s and Saul killing his thousands, he got very envious. He had lost his humility. And so he lost his mind as well. Along with his humility, he lost his mind and he wanted to kill King David. He was able to accept a simple insult or insults and people not wanting him to be king and not wanting to retaliate because of his humility. But when King David did something good for his kingdom, he wanted to kill him. This is the loss of humility. And we see also in the life of St. John the Baptist himself, humility, an essential part in how St. John was effective in his service. When people came to him and wanted, basically they thought he was the Messiah, he said, he must increase about the Lord Jesus Christ, I must decrease. Again, he knew his mission, he knew who he was, he never lost sight of that. And so humility is a key aspect to us overcoming this, you know, this regression in our spiritual growth. In order for us to grow and bear fruits, we must have humility. Saint Isaac the Syrian gives this analogy of citrus trees. He says a citrus tree, if you go to look, the citrus tree that has its branches sticking up, straight up, kida, you'll find that it doesn't bear fruit. There are no fruit on those trees. But the trees that are bearing much fruit are the ones with the branches bent toward the ground. And so he says it is with us as well. When we bend toward the ground, as in we are humble, then we will bear fruit. But it's not a lost cause, he says, because even the citrus trees that have their branches sticking up, he says, in order, the farmer is not going to just cut it off and say, khalas. So he puts weights, small weights on the branches, so that bit by bit, the branches begin to bend and begin to bear fruit eventually. And again, it is the same with us. Bit by bit, we need to put these weights. With the direction of our spiritual guide, we need to put weights. Could be the various ascetic feats that we can do, such as prostrations, the fasts. We complain about fasts, but it helps us if we do it right. Prostrations, it's not a physical exercise, but it's a spiritual one. Standing up in prayer, not sitting down while we pray, not praying just on the drive. Yes, pray in all these occasions, but stand up in the morning to pray and raise your hands before the Lord. The posture is important. And all these things will help put the weight on us so that we humble ourselves before the Lord. The second thing linked to pride is that when I am prideful, I insist on my wrong. And because of pride, I may insist on it. And an example of this is the story of King Herod. We know that from Mark chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him." So Herod is protecting St. John the Baptist. He feared him. And then it continues, "And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." So Herod was listening to St. John gladly. If we just took this verse, we think that King Herod was a disciple of St. John. But he feared him, he protected him, he heard him gladly. But what prevented him from truly being his disciple? It was sin. He insisted on his wrong, on a sinful situation he was in. Herodia, his brother's wife, was with him, and so if basically he was saying, if you want to speak to me about anything, speak to me, and I'll listen to you, I'll fear you, I'll listen, my ears are all open. But when it comes to Herodia, this is the red line. Don't cross it. This is my red line. And so each one of us may have a red line that we tell God, don't cross it. He speaks to us. You know, we hear many sermons, we read the Bible a lot, we contemplate a lot, and the Lord speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit convicts us. But sometimes we say to God, I'll listen to everything, I'll obey all your commandments. Lord, I'm following the commandments, but this red line, don't cross it. And so this was the case with King Herod. When we think of the rich young ruler that came to Christ, he had followed all the commandments. He said, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom? Eternal life. And the Lord tells him, follow all the commandments. And he did. Since my youth, I did them, Lord. But one thing you lack. He was unable to let go of his possessions. Today, if you will hear his voice, like the scripture tells us, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. When the Lord convicts you, answer. Don't reject the calling. Don't put a red line and say, don't cross this. We can't pick and choose the commandments that we follow. We need to follow them all. Insistence on sin prevents us from hearing God's voice and prevents us from growing spiritually. The third thing When we look at St. John the Baptist's life and his dealing with the Pharisees, he says to them at one point, the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He calls them brood of vipers. A brood is basically a family of young animals. And so the concept of being in a group and being attached to a certain group of person, or even attached to material possession like the rich young ruler. When a person is attached to another, you find that his mind and his heart is inclined to do and to please that person instead of doing what is right, instead of doing what is right in order to grow. That's why in Jeremiah 17 it tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful. So do not let your heart deceive you. Do not let your heart follow those inclinations, those feelings, and then be deceived because of it. This is maybe a problem that we have a lot, following the flow, going with the flow, going with whatever people tell us. But we see also in the Old Testament, Daniel wasn't like that. You know, he had position, he had the friendship of the king, but then when he was supposed to worship idols and so on, it said, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. He chose to remain as he was, to remain faithful, to follow the practices he used to follow, despite those around him." And so do not let those around you influence you. Do not be attached to them in a way that is negative, but detach yourself. Always detach yourself that you may be free. The heart that is attached to something or someone is deceived, as like Jeremiah tells us, and is unable to make room for God in it. But once we let go, once our heart is free, then it is free also to worship our Lord. So the third thing we said are attachments. So number one, pride. Number two, insistence on the wrongs. Number three, attachments. Number four, improper advice. Very often we seek advice from the wrong people. One may think he's on the right path and may even go seek advice from someone who will say that, yes, what you're doing is right. And we pick and choose who it is we seek advice from or guidance. I didn't like this advice, I'll go to this other person that they may give me the advice I'm expecting, that I want, that pleases me, that makes me feel good. You know, even the story of King Herod, we see that when he threw that birthday party, he wanted to please Herodias' daughter. And so he told her, I'll ask anything. And she went and sought counsel from who? From her mother. And her mother, who was very angry with St. John the Baptist, said, ask for the head of St. John. When we see the bad advice the mother gives, and we also see that the daughter sought advice from a person that's not very wise. And so look at the advice she offered. And the daughter didn't analyze, didn't see the consequences, didn't think about what does this mean. And she went along with it. And we know the rest of the story. St. John was beheaded. We also look at the Old Testament. King Solomon passes away, and his son takes over the kingship, Rehoboam. He takes over. And King Solomon, we know, was a bit of a tough king. He had his rules. He was rigid. And so when he died, the people of Israel came to him and spoke to his sons, came to Rehoboam, and spoke to his son, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father, and we will serve you. So they came and told him, just lighten things on us a little, and we're going to follow you, we're going to serve you, we're going to love you. And so he went to the elders, and he sought their advice, and they told him the same thing, be kind to them, be gentle with them, and they will love you, and they will serve you. But then he went to his friends, the ones it says he grew up with, sought their advice, and they told him, no, be harsh on the people. And he told the people, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. He was very rough, rougher than his dad. And because of the improper advice that he took and accepted, the kingdom was divided. And it suffered until now they suffer, but it suffered. And we see in the Bible the suffering of the people of Israel. And so he listened to this unwise counsel, and because of it, the people of Israel suffered. And so when we seek counsel, we must seek counsel from the wise and from those who are experienced, and from those who will lead us in spiritual growth, not those who will take us away. I can go to my friend, I can go to my father of confession. My father of confession can give me guidance, can tell me do this and that. And then my friend will tell me, don't worry about that. We'll do this and you'll go confess. Which advice will I listen to? What will I do? Will I seek the counsel and listen to the advice that is wise, that will lead me to eternal life? Or will I listen to the advice that leads me to perdition and spiritual regression? I mentioned four. I had two others, but for the sake of time, the two others, basically, sometimes the disease of this age is being preoccupied. We always find excuses. No, I'm busy. I'm busy. I can't do this. I'm busy. I don't have time to pray. I had work, and now my kids, I got home, I need to relax a little, and then I didn't have time. Or I have to do this service. Sometimes we're busy with good things, and we ignore our spiritual growth. We ignore what we need to do. But when we stand before God, we will not be able to say to Him, "Sorry, Lord, I was busy." We're told you are inexcusable, O man. And so we have no excuse. And so do not find excuses for why you don't grow spiritually, for why you're not doing the spiritual things. And finally, the last point is appearances of success. Sometimes we feel we are growing in outward things. I have services in the church. I'm doing a lot of things in the church. I am a deacon. I know the hymns. I'm learning these things and that thing. I memorized verses. I may even be reading the Bible, but nothing really fills me. I'm not really doing it with the spirit of humility, with the spirit of wanting to learn and grow in my spiritual life, but it's just outward activities, and it seems like it is good, but there is no real growth. That's why in Revelations chapter 3, it tells us, "You say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know what, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.'" And so despite the fact that I think I'm growing, I'm rich, wealthy, and so on, truly I'm poor inside. Truly I am wretched. Truly I'm miserable. And so that's why we need to always realize that we are disciples for life. Despite the fact that I may think I'm growing, I have to realize I always need to learn. I always need to seek knowledge from the other. And in that spirit, that idea, the appearance of growth will go away. And so be a disciple. And the more you're a disciple to the church, to the Bible, to your father of confession, the more you will grow. And so the 6 points, pride, and we fight it with humility, insistence on the wrongs, and instead of insisting on the wrong, we should offer repentance and bear fruits of repentance. Number 3, our attachments to people or things, and so we must learn to detach to make room for God in our lives. Improper advice, instead of listening to the improper advice, one, analyze the advice given to you, and also make sure you seek wisdom in those, seek the wise counsel from the people you go to. And sometimes, number 5, we're preoccupied and we say we're busy, and so never offer that excuse, but make time for God. And finally, appearance of success. We should fight it with being a disciple for life. And glory be to our God forever. Amen.